It's the morning show, and we're talking about crafting and art projects taking off. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So have you turned to old-fashioned crafts during the pandemic for stress relief and to hold something tangible in your hands? You're not alone. Needle arts appear through history as a response to trauma. There was the Victory Knitting Campaign during World War II, and the Center for Knit and Crochet says knitting was a patriotic obsession, resulting in the creation of many thousands of needed items for the military. So are you sewing masks for family and friends these days? Have you picked up crafting or art projects during these times? What are your patterns like? We're at 800-642-1234. Krista Bach is the owner of Rec Room Craft Company. It's a do-it-yourself craft studio and bar in Milwaukee. Krista, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello. Good morning, Kate.
What are your days like right now? How are you getting through this time?
We had to do a big pivot, just like everybody else. But we are offering make-at-home craft kits that you can order online, and we are shipping nationwide, and we're also doing local deliveries. So my days pretty much look like going into the studio, packing up kits, and then heading out and driving all around and doing it again the next day.
You've become a messenger almost.
Yes. I've seen a lot of different neighborhoods of the Milwaukee County area that I have never seen before.
So during the pandemic, many people are taking up new hobbies like painting or craft projects. What is it about this that makes people do projects like this right now?
You know, I think you mentioned it in your intro, but, you know, even when it's not pandemic related, I think crafts and projects are kind of this like lone area where they are, they're a hobby that a lot of people do that's purely for enjoyment or for stress relief or for distractions or, you know, to kind of challenge themselves to learn something new. So, you know, crafting kind of embodies this. Reduction in anxiety, stress, and usually they're pretty colorful, which, you know, usually makes people happy. So I think it, you know, crafts can mean something different to different people.
Using a different part of the brain as well, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. There have been a lot of studies that have come out recently, particularly in regards to crafting and, what it does for the brain and how it helps people, particularly with stress and anxiety, which I think, you know, as much as everyone's doing their best, kind of some days there's pockets filled with that every day now.
So with all of the deliveries you have to do and retooling your business so dramatically in such a short time, are you able to have any outlets? Are you able to work on any craft projects?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sometimes I don't allow myself the freedom to, you know, explore new things because I'm always tinkering with something down at the studio. But for me in particular, it's just very interesting, you know, as we're always looking at kind of what's trending and what's coming that people are showing interest in. But punch needle, it's kind of a resurging. It's just funny. It's like a lot of crafts that we have are all were trendy at some point and have come back with a little bit of modern spin on them.
Oh, so, like retro crafts.
Yeah, exactly. So many of them have origins, particularly in the 70s. I don't know why, 60s, 70s, that was a particularly crafty time. punch needle, I bought myself the supplies I think it was like 3 months ago at this point. So I'm really trying to sit down this week to give it a go. Punch needle is another kind of form of fiber art. You use a couple different tools, a couple different weights of yarn to produce. You have to use special cloth, but you can kind of produce like, it's almost like sort of like latch hook, but not really. But they're just really fun little designs you can work on sort of while you're watching TV or just sitting down, you know, for a few minutes at a time.
Yeah, speaking of latch hook, my daughter is in the middle of a latch hook rug right now. It's taking me back to my days.
I know. If you look across the board, like string art, macrame, it's just very funny. I think my mom always has a good laugh about it. I think you're talking to her later, but
yeah,
just how much things you know, come back around.
We're talking with Krista Bach, who owns a do-it-yourself crafting studio in Milwaukee. It opened last June. We're looking at the different types of crafts that are popping up during the pandemic. What are you working on right now? Have you converted your kitchen table into a workstation? And what projects give you peace of mind? We're at 800-642-1234. You can join in by email at ideas@wpr.org. So, Krista, what falls under the crafting umbrella? And by the way, I understand you don't really like the term crafting.
I don't not like it, but sometimes I feel like it sort of excludes a group of people that I think would love doing crafts, but they wouldn't ever say they love doing crafts because crafting sounds kind of segmented, if that makes sense. So we refer to a lot of our crafts at our studio as projects, because technically that's what they are. You know, I'm sure craft project is a term that, you know, people have heard a lot. So, you know, the idea of working on a project, it broadens it up a little bit. And I think sometimes it makes for an easier time of, like, people bringing in their significant other for a date night to work on a project versus a craft or things like that. So I don't dislike the word craft. I just try to kind of
broaden it out a little bit.
Broaden it out a little bit, exactly.
So I understand there is a bar also in your studio. How did you come up with this do-it-yourself project studio and put a bar in it as well?
Well, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin, and I think the old adage of Wisconsin is, if you're going to do it, just put a bar in it. but no, the idea of giving people a space where, you know, you can go out, you can still have a couple of drinks. We also have non-alcoholic drinks as well. But, you know, just kind of a different option for going out for an evening or for a fun afternoon where you can come, you can make something that you are actually proud of putting in your house or that matches your decor. All of our projects are super customizable, but we're very keen on who our customers are in this state. So, you know, we like to have kind of both options. And we do have a lot of really amazing neighborhood patrons who come in and just kind of grab a drink or a mimosa at our bar on a Sunday morning as well.
What are some of the more popular crafts that that beginners could have a good introductory into?
Yeah, at our studio in particular, our string art is by far and away our most popular project. I think because either people have seen it out there and they've wanted to try it, but they weren't really sure what materials to get together. So our string art, well, most of our projects we make super easy. They all come with flipbook style instructions, or if you order them online, you get a packet of instructions as well. But the string art is just, it's very therapeutic. You kind of go through all the range of, you know, painting and then getting your aggression out with hammering the nails in. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to kind of the like zen of just stringing your design until you have a completed project. But, you know, unless it's like a super detailed, like you need like a real instructor type of project, most of our stuff is self-led. So, you know, you can learn along the way, and all of our instructions are written to be pretty user-friendly from the get-go.
We're talking about turning to crafting for stress relief with Krista Bach as our guide. She runs a do-it-yourself craft studio in Milwaukee. What kinds of crafts do you do right now? Are you searching out online tutorials? Is there a craft you've been wanting to try but aren't sure where to begin? Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Back in a minute with Krista Bach here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the crafting revolution, the likes of which has not been seen since World War II. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So being engrossed in a creative project temporarily allows us to stop worrying about the future or dwell in the past. Crafting requires focused attention and forces us to be completely immersed in the moment right now. So have you always wanted to start making arts and crafts but never had the time before the pandemic, but now you do? What pieces have you been making right now? What home decor are you working on? Join in 800-642-1234. Your projects, your roadblocks, all welcome. Krista Bach of Milwaukee runs a do-it-yourself craft studio, and she stays with us. So, Krista, we were talking about string art there, and my colleague Courtney wanted to know that if you've seen string art in the shape of Wisconsin. Is that out there?
Oh, for sure. That is, we have that design, and it's our most popular design above far and away.
And so do you hang string art afterward? How do you display it?
Yeah, so we have, well, when we were open, we had a larger project that was about 16 by 16 inches. That one comes with a hanger. Our current one that we offer in mini form is on a 7 by 7, but a little bit larger, 7 1/4 by 7 1/4 piece of wood. Those ones people love to put on their shelves. They're just kind of like a nice little pop of color, so you can do both.
Word embroidery is also going strong. What are you seeing there?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Embroidery is it's making such a trend, such a comeback. Again, I think that one is definitely, like, therapeutic. It's super fun to learn all the different types of stitches and designs, but it's so fun to see these modern takes and, you know, some of them are swear words. Some of them are funny phrases taken from, you know, memes or Instagram or, you know, the internet. So it's just the thing that I love most about being in this business is seeing the creativity of other makers. It makes me smile every single day.
I bet you also get a lot of ideas, too, that someone comes in and wants to try something and then the next person is experimenting on that. I would imagine you can build on it.
Yes, for sure. Some of my best ideas of even like processes of how to, you know, do projects, I've learned from my customers. And I think daily I would walk past a table and be like, I have never thought of that. I never thought to do it that way. Or look at you, like someone before we had to close down, painted the tops of the nails on their string art project. So instead of being silver, the paint matched the string color. And I was like, well, that looks really cool. I never thought to do that. So, you know, it can be little things to big things.
Well, there are lots of kids at home right now needing projects to work on. Do you have any recommendations for crafting for kids?
I do. You know, a couple ones, you know, I think a lot of people have been trying to search out, you know, what are easy things to do to occupy them for just a few minutes or, you know, 60 minutes if you can make it that far. But it's been really important for people to try to find things in their house to use that they already have, so they're not making extra trips to try to source art supplies. So one fun one that I've seen, and my son's he's 14 months, so he's a little too young, but is salt painting, which you just need glue, salt, just like regular kind of watercolor kids paints.
Mm-hmm.
But you can draw all these designs. You need a heavier base than just a piece of paper. So you need the cardstock. You can use cardboard, whatever you have. But you just draw your designs in the glue, and then you coat it with the salt, and you let it dry. And then you go with a paintbrush or Q-tip or anything you have, and you can go around and touch the paint to your salt lines, and it kind of spreads and grows, and it's just a really fun project, and kids are really loving it.
Oh, I bet, because you also get the different textures going on as well.
Yes, for sure, and definitely along that vein as well is you can use diluted food coloring too if you don't even have the little plastic kids paints. But another really popular one has been shaving cream painting. So it's kind of like marbling, but made easier for kids. So again, same concept. You just need like a shallow dish. Kids love the first step of squirting the shaving cream in. And then you kind of, you dollop your diluted food coloring or paint all around your design. And then again, you just grab a piece of cardstock, light colored cardboard if you have it. on the top of your design, and then you need something like a paint stick or even a ruler to scrape the shaving cream off. But then you're left with this really cool marbled design, and you can use the same dish over and over for, you know, different kids, multiple kids. So there's a lot of things you can do. And I think, you know, most importantly, as many parents I'm sure are experiencing, it's just really about spending time together. So even going on a nature hike, and I know our one of the companies around us that does like natural landscaping, they released a kind of hunt for, you know, can you find these different leaves? Can you find these different spring flowers? So there's a lot of stuff you can do around that doesn't necessarily involve
making a mess.
Making a mess or sourcing tons of different supplies that you don't have at your house right now.
We're talking with Krista Bach, the owner of a do-it-yourself project studio in Milwaukee. And you can join in. What crafts and art projects do you make as a family? Have you taken an art class recently? What did you learn? Are you getting into the tie-dye trend? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call now. Mr. T is joining us from Oneida. Hi there.
Hi. How are you this morning?
Good. What are you making?
I'm making rosaries for the church. I order the crosses and the centerpiece, and then I buy beads at St. Vincent de Paul or any one of the Goodwills sell beads, different colors. So I make them in all different colors, out of shell or anything that I can get. And it's very warming, and then I give them away. All I do is ask them to pray for me, and I give the rosaries away. I've got 30 of them that I make now, but the churches are closed. So when I get through, I may have 50 of them before they open the churches again.
You may have many more on your hands. What are your most favorite beads to use?
Oh, shell.
Shell, okay.
Shells, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I make them, you know, with the shell. The larger ones I do for the, where you say the art products, and the smaller ones would be for the Hail Marys on them. But anyway, they came out beautiful, and people like them, and I give them to them. But it's a hobby, and it's beautiful. My wife, before she passed away, she made 1,000 of them and sent them to the missions in Mexico because they didn't have any rosaries. So that's where it started.
Wow. Well, what a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that. Krista, making rosaries with found shells and beads.
Like I said, people surprise me every day with their creativity, and I absolutely love it.
So when you look for online tutorials, there's so much out there. And where do you begin if you want to start, you know, seeing something, how to do something, and maybe turning online?
Yeah, that's a really great question. For me, the first place I start, because it seems to be pretty low barrier, is Instagram. There are so many makers out there and different companies, and the reason I start there is because they're kind of baseline, like kind of hook you into like, hey, why don't you try this? They have their IG videos that are they're usually really short, or they have like edited versions just on their accounts. So you can kind of see like, does that look like something I could accomplish? Does it look easy enough? And then from there, I like to go out, you know, and then kind of just like search the internet for, you know, their Skillshare. There are truly so many. But for me, I feel like it's important to find the right maker or the right company that's, you know, going to teach you in a style that suits you. And then kind of go from there to source, who's going to work best for you.
And these days, where can you get supplies? Where would you suggest getting craft supplies right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thankfully, you know, since it's been about 6 weeks, some places have reopened or have reopened for shipping. You know, everyone has been really stringent on their safety protocols, but particularly in Wisconsin, I would say first and foremost, just do a quick local search. There, depending on what you're looking for first, you know, I know there are a lot of really amazing local businesses, local yarn stores that could really use your business right now coming from a local business. So I would say search local first. And then Etsy, a lot of people think of Etsy for finished goods, but
yeah.
Etsy has so many suppliers and kits and just it's a wide swath of people offering, again, craft supplies, or if you're looking for a full package of kits, you can go, you know, check out there first. But then definitely I know Michael's has reopened for curbside pickup in Wisconsin, as well as Joanne. So if you, and Dick Blick, I believe, if you have any Dick Blicks near you. So yeah, there's a couple of different options, but you know, my counsel is always try local first, and if you can't find it, expand out from there.
We have Krista Bach on the line as we spend the hour on crafting and art projects that are taking hold during the pandemic. Krista has a do-it-yourself crafting business in Milwaukee. Have you tried string art or fiber art? How about leather making? Are you crocheting or knitting, doing cross stitch or needlepoint? How is it going? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to hashtag CoronaCrafts, all the inspiration out there on social and online tutorials right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. And right now we're talking about crafting during the pandemic. Here's the deal. Makers gotta make. Whether you weld or weave, whether you dabble in clay or paints, people are pursuing their passions during these difficult times. Are you crafting? Is your dining room table turned into a project in progress? What are you working on with your child? Let's talk about DIY at 800-642-1234. Krista Bach runs a do-it-yourself studio in Milwaukee. And now let's bring in Karen Johnson. Full disclosure here, Karen is Krista's mom. Karen is an artist who teaches painting and other crafting projects at Krista's business, Rec Room Craft Company. Karen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
So why might someone be drawn to picking up a paintbrush, maybe for the first time right now?
Oh, I just think it's a very creative endeavor. You can really feel good about doing it. I think that people now more than ever need to be doing something creative, either artistic or anything like that, just to get their mind off whatever is going on in the world.
Are you painting right now?
I was painting last night, and I'll be painting again today.
What are you working on?
Well, I do something called acrylic pouring, and I also do traditional painting and resin work.
Acrylic pouring is all the rage. Please divulge what it is and how we can get into it.
It is absolutely amazing because you don't need any artistic skill. All you do is you put paint colors together in a certain order, whatever you want, and you mix it together with a formula of an additive, and then you, with different techniques, you pour it onto a canvas and let the paint pour the way it is, the way it will, and it creates these cells. It moves around. It doesn't just stay there. It's just absolutely, absolutely beautiful.
How does the paint move around? How do you move it around?
You tilt the canvas so you can basically decide the composition of what your artwork is going to be by how you tilt the canvas. You can also go back in. So you have the paint literally, it's so messy. You have the paint pour off the canvas.
Nice.
Into a tray. You have it actually pour off the canvas, and then you tilt it around. The additive makes the paint very fluid. And then what happens is because of the additive, how it reacts with the different paints, you get these little, they're called cells, and they look literally like cells in the paint, and they start to form over time. So you go back and watch it dry. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And then you can even go back in and kind of pour paint on top of it if you want more pops of colors. So we have these craft kits that are available to do this particular thing. It's pretty exciting.
Krista, is paint pouring pretty popular at the studio?
It is. We usually only offer the paint pouring as a workshop. So it's a smaller group of people. So you really get more kind of one-on-one instructor-led guidance in the project. But people love it. And like my mom said, it's a very zen art class to take because it doesn't require a lot of concentration. But you 100% of the time end up with something that looks amazing.
And I would imagine, Karen, that it looks great on a wall, too, as a piece of artwork.
Oh, it does. It does. And, you know, you can put different colors together, metallics and regular. You're working with acrylic paint, but it's absolutely beautiful.
Another technique that you're working on is resin. Can you teach us a little bit about resin art?
Yeah, resin is also another beautiful form of art. You work with these basically part A and part B hardener that makes the resin cure into a plastic. You mix it together, and then to get the colors, you mix these things called mica powders, which are different colors, into the different. It's like you're mixing your own paint colors. And then you can do the same thing. You can pour them into molds. You can add glitter. You can pour them on a painting. You can create beach art. And then it dries like hard plastic. That needs a little more. You need to wear safety equipment like a mask and things like that, and gloves, so you don't get it on your hands. But that is also a beautiful form of art.
And what have you created from it? Coasters, I would understand, is one type of you know, thing you could make from it.
Oh, yes, yes. You use a coaster mold, and then you pour, you put crushed glass in to make these geode forms. We've done that at Rec Room Craft Co., where we make, we pour them into molds, and then you pop them out the next day, and you have beautifully formed coasters.
Love it. All right. Well, what supplies should beginners start with when painting? I mean, I would imagine, and I have this too, where I have a stash of old paints. They may be more than 10 years old. Do I have to throw those out and start fresh?
Nope, not at all. Not at all. My advice would be just to, you can paint on anything. You can paint on canvas. You can paint on cardboard. You can paint on paper. Just, you know, enjoy the process and just start creating. I think people get so intimidated by thinking they can't do it, but just the act of creating will make you feel really, really great.
And to revive old paints that you may have stored and haven't used in a long time, how do you revive old acrylics?
Just some water. I mean, if they haven't dried up and they're you can't get them out of the bottle, but if they if you've had them around forever, just put them on a paper plate and add a little water.
Mix it around a little bit and
yep.
Away you go.
Away you go.
We have a Milwaukee crafting business owner, Krista Bach, here, and artist Karen Johnson as we spend the hour on crafting. What crafts and art projects do you make as a family? Have you taken an art class recently? What did you learn? How did it make you feel? Do you paint or draw? Do you have a good acrylic pour going on? Tell us about your acrylic paint pouring techniques at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Karen Johnson and Krista Bach, Crafting as It Goes, right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So the New York Times headline reads, people have gone full 1800s. In the midst of COVID-19, we're seeing flower pressing, we're seeing natural dyeing, other activities from Victorian times that have made a big comeback. Craft is booming. So what craft have you turned to? Is there a project that sat in the back of a closet for years that you're picking up again? That long-lost quilting project, maybe the watercolor set that was never opened. Tell us about what you're working on, what you found, 800-642-1234. We have crafters and artists Karen Johnson and Krista Bach. They're a mother-daughter duo, and they stay with us. Let's take a call now. Kim is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Kim. What are you working on?
Hi. I'm a former crochet and knitter, but it starts to hurt my hands because of what I do for work. So I recently picked up crocheting, but I picked it up in the middle of the pandemic, and it's literally impossible to find larger hoops right now to hold my material. I was wondering if they had any alternative suggestions for holding the material while you stitch.
Kim, thanks so much for calling. Krista, any suggestions for, you know, a replacement for larger hoops to hold the material?
Ooh, that is a good question. Have you tried looking on like Factory Direct Craft, or there's a couple other larger craft or consumer crafts? They have a lot of supplies that sometimes more of the Michaels and Joann's are sold out of.
Yeah, and Kim, unfortunately, is not with us anymore here on the line. But what sounds like, Krista, is you're saying really, really shop around online because there might be other places that could stock it.
Yeah, exactly. Like the two I mentioned, Factory Direct Craft and Consumer Craft, they are consumer-facing of a wholesale company that works in the behind. So they are pulling from stock that is usually going to wholesale, but they make consumer facing at usually typically good prices. So I know there are a few companies like that, and they typically have much more in stock sometimes. I know that, you know, again, with everything going on, the Michaels and the Joann's of the world, sometimes they get sold out of things pretty quickly because people are crafting.
Yeah, we haven't spent too much time on fiber arts like crocheting and knitting. What are you seeing there?
Like I said, you know, a lot of people are kind of going back to, it's almost like comfort food in a way. You know, knitting and crocheting for so many people have really good, is tied to really good memories of watching their grandmothers or their mothers or their aunts, you know, do it and make really beautiful handcrafted items. So I think, again, with a lot of crafts like we've been talking about, there's a certain nostalgia factor, but kind of bringing it into a modern age. And I think that's what's drawing a lot of people to learning the, you know, the fiber art and wanting to get into it and to learn it. I would say, again, kind of search out. We're trying to bring in some instructors. So that was the plan anyways until everything hit. So hopefully we can do that down the road, because I will be the first one to say I am a dabbler, right? I can teach the things that we offer, but I rely heavily on others to come in and teach kind of more of those. You need to learn the basics from someone who's been doing it for a while. But there's a lot of online tutorials. There are even some Milwaukee artists who I know are teaching classes. They're offering Zoom classes. And I'm sure there are elsewhere in Wisconsin. So there's a lot of opportunities to kind of get started with the basics of those kind of handcrafted, embroidering, crochet.
Karen, I grew up watching the PBS show Bob Ross, the Joy of Painting, and
yes.
You know, just the step by step instructions. It was very therapeutic, and also knowing that there was someone guiding me through the process. Does that help when you're painting a little bit to have a mentor, to have someone there helping you through your project?
Yes, because when people, when they first get to a class, they're completely intimidated because they see a finished painting. But really, when you think about it, it's just all layers. You do the background layer first, mix the colors, then you add the next layer, then the next layer, then the next layer, and then you end up with something that you can't believe that you actually painted. So it's that step-by-step instruction and just breaking things down into simple steps that you can follow. Anybody can follow.
I always worry about, you know, what if you mess up a step? How can you go back and change something that didn't work out right when you were painting it?
Well, I always told my kids, you can always fix a problem. You can always turn something into something else. And I think that's part of the creative process, is there's no such thing as messing up. You can make something into something else. You can paint over it. You can turn it into a flower. You can do anything, even with any kind of project. There's really, you know, the attitude should always be the whole creative process. There's never, ever a problem.
I love that. Karen Johnson with us, an artist who teaches classes on painting and other crafting projects. We have Krista Bach here as well, who owns Rec Room Craft Company in Milwaukee. Taking your ideas, your questions about the crafting you're working on, 800-642-1234. We heard from Carl in Oconomowoc, called in, couldn't stay with us, but wanted to know if there's a way to repurpose elastic, Krista, which is commonly being used for protective masks right now. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Repurposing elastic, such as like if you have excess of it?
Yeah, maybe like from other clothing that you could perhaps repurpose it to make masks?
I gotcha. I think you could if you... you know, took out the hem and, you know, kind of pulled it out. I've also seen a good number of tutorials of using old t-shirts for the, and again, this is probably more for personal use versus if you're making masks for medical professionals to use. But you can cut strips of old t-shirts and use those. You can also, I've seen a few people, if you have any leftover ACE bandages around your house, or even if you are making a trip to Walgreens, I've seen a lot of people cutting those into strips to use as well. If you're kind of, I know elastic and a lot of the mask making materials have been sold out. So going back to kind of your wartime sentiments, I think people, again, are just being very creative with what they can find and doing a really great job of it.
Well, let's bring in Nancy now in Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. I would like to just talk about the joy and the gratification of refinishing furniture. When someone gives you or you buy or you find on the street a piece of old furniture and you use these new products now, which are not at all harmful to your liver as they used to be, they're water-based now, and you strip off whatever was on that piece of furniture, and then I usually bleach the whole piece also, which makes it look like a big bone, actually. Mm. But when you apply the grain, the stain, and you see the beauty of the grain of the wood emerge again, it is just so thrilling. And and whatever tree that piece of furniture originally came from seems to be regrowing in the forest.
Oh, I love it.
because you have utilized something. Well, you've more than utilized it again. You've beautified it.
Beautiful analogy. Yeah. And Nancy, I know I find just absolute zen in just sanding.
Yes.
Well, Krista, we are almost running out of time here. And Karen, any final thoughts here on what we can pick up today or work on now with our projects?
Well, first, I'd like to say that Nancy is amazing, and I loved everything that she said.
Me too.
but no, I think, you know, the part of the whole process is just finding that initial spark of inspiration of what really speaks to you in making or creating. And, you know, to Nancy's point, it can be a refurbished project. It can be something that you've got sitting around that you're like, huh, what can I do with that? I think it's just, you know, kind of looking around, you know, getting some inspiration, whether that's on social media or Pinterest or, you know, just the internet or just walking around outside, and then kind of honing in on the supplies that you need. And if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to help you in any way figure out where you can find the things you need.
Thank you both so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Krista Bach is the owner of Rec Room Craft Company in Milwaukee. Karen Johnson, an artist who teaches classes on painting and other crafting projects there. Coming up, we check in with the paper industry in Wisconsin. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.